Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY 2023 earnings conference call of Banswara Fintech Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi Tushnuba, Managing Director, Banswara Fintech Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and good morning from New York City, where I'm calling from. Welcome to our quarter two and H1 FY 2023 earnings conference call. I hope each of you and your families continue to remain safe and healthy. I'm joined on our call by our CFO, Mr. Pankaj Garg, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. I hope everyone has had a chance to go through our updated investor presentation uploaded on the exchanges and our company website. It is my pleasure to announce that we reached the halfway mark for FY 2022-23 and have already exceeded and crossed our last year's numbers for the complete FY 2021-22 financial year. Going forward, H2 has headwinds due to the recession clouds. However, in my current and ongoing trip visiting customers in the USA, Europe, and next week in the U.K., the response that I am getting to our products is encouraging, both for our fabric and garment business. The China Plus One strategy of customers continues to be real, and there is also a further Europe Plus One wind blowing our way. Domestic demand is solid in both fabrics and garments. The order book position in these two segments is good. Yarn is showing some slackness in price, but we expect that with 33% of our yarn consumed for fabric and garments internally, the overall impact on the balance 66% of our yarn, even with reduced prices of yarn, would allow H2 to be hopefully as good as H1. This, of course, is provided there is no major currency disasters or huge changes due to the war escalation, which may cause a bigger downturn than what is currently being experienced. Coming to the standalone financial and operational performance of the company, for quarter two, FY 2023, revenue from operations grew by 31% to rupees  408 crores. For H1 FY 2023, revenue grew by 46% to rupees 766 crores. EBITDA margins improved by 150 basis points from 11.1% in quarter two FY 2022 to 12.6% in quarter two FY 2023. For H1 FY 2023, our yarn division grew its sales by 17%. The fabric division increased its sales by 64%, and the garments division has shown the highest increase of 129% when compared to the corresponding period in FY 2022. The increased domestic sales in garments during quarter two FY 2023 is due to the availability of additional production capacities in Daman that have been ramped up. H1 FY 2023 production was higher than H1 FY 2022 on account of pent-up demand in Western markets, increasing demand post-lifting of COVID restrictions in domestic markets. The returning of laborers aided our return of production to pre-COVID levels, and the building up of efficiencies in our garments division with the training of the workforce. Proportion of the high margin value-added business, that is our fabric and garment business, has increased to 59% of the total sales in H1 FY 2023 as compared to 46% in H1 FY 2022. For quarter two, FY23, it was 60% of the total sales. For half year FY23, yarn division grew its sales by 17%, fabric increased by 64%, and the garments are shown 129%, which I already mentioned, when compared to the corresponding period in FY22. The increased domestic sales in garments during quarter two FY23 is due to the availability of additional production capacities in Daman. Export sales as a percentage of total sales have increased to 47% in H1 FY23 from 42% in H1 FY22. That is, we have an increase in 5% in export sales. This is majorly due to a pickup in demand post-lifting of COVID-19 restrictions across the various geographies we sell in. While for quarter 2 FY23, export sales were 46% of total sales, due to the increasing risk of inflation, the export sales may further witness some downside pressure. Half-year FY23 production was higher on account of pent-up demand, increasing demand post-lifting of COVID restrictions, returning of laborers, etc. During the quarter, the company has decided to move to a lower tax of 22%, effective rate 25.17%, from the earlier slab of 34.2%. This was the option given to us earlier. We had taken this to use our MAT credit, but now that is not there anymore, so we have reverted back to this tax regime. This had led to a substantial rise at the PAT level of by rupees 16 crores. So we are seeing in this quarter an additional PAT due to this change. Employee cost. During quarter 2 FY23, employee cost has marginally risen by 0.37% of production value on account of additional wages payable in the labor-intensive part of our garment division. On a half-yearly basis, the company has been able to reduce total employee expenses by 1.8% on account of the increased production across various departments. Power cost, which has been a concern for us for a while, has been lowered a little to 54.2 crores, that is 12.93% of production value, with 52 crores at 13.67% of production value in the previous quarter. The moderation of 0.75% during the current quarter in the cost is due to the following reasons. One is the reduction in coal consumption by about 2%. Two is the increase in turnover of garments by 26 crores. The power and fuel costs required for significantly required in the garment division are significantly lower than yarn and fabric, thereby bringing down the company average. For the half year of FY23, the costs have increased by 1.15%, majorly due to the significant upsides witnessed in the coal prices. The implementation of our solar power project has helped in moderating the higher coal cost by 1.66 crores in this quarter. Despite significant increase in the working capital, the finance cost of the company has reduced by 0.13% of production value as compared to the previous quarter. This is majorly due to the following reasons. Decreased cost of borrowing post receipt of reduced ROI from all banks. Timely and effective usage of low-cost EPC facilities and working capital WCDLs, stopping of high-cost discounting done from garment debtors. Happy to be having this interaction even remotely from New York City, and really feel that technology is really empowering all of us to be more productive, and look forward to continuing to share our journey with all of you. Thank you, and we'll open the floor now for question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking your question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Anand Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a very good set of numbers, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. My first question is that although we are growing and we're growing significantly, our revenues have grown and our profitability has also gone up, but at the same time, what we are also seeing is a significant increase in our debt levels and a considerable deterioration of the balance sheet overall, whether it is the receivable part of our balance sheet or the borrowings part of our balance sheet or the inventory part of our balance sheet. Now, how do you see these evolving and how do you plan to manage these going forward?
Okay, Anand, thank you for your question. I understand what you're saying very clearly. You notice that one of the biggest increases in the debt level is because we chose not to take the expensive credit that we were getting by discounting bills. We were discounting bills of our garment domestic division sales to the corporates. Corporates like Arvind, for the Arrow Group, the Raymond Group or Madura, they were giving us a very high cost of credit of almost 12% to 13% discount to bills. So we chose to give them open credit instead of discounting, and that's why the debt level increased there. That is quite risk-free, and we had the availability of limits to do that. So it's a choice we made which we can reverse at any time. And if we want to have that working capital, we can use it. And we can choose to discount again. That's one big explanation of, I think, a chunk of 30, 40 crores increase in the garment division specifically due to that. The rest of the increases is due to some situations where the orders are there and the customers are listing goods, but listing a little bit slower than before. These things will keep happening cyclically, but I don't see a concern there. With the growth, and if you look at the total expenses that we are having on finance or the expenses we are having on our people costs, we are not concerned that these will be issues. I hope I've been able to answer your question.
Just some more clarifications here. So do we see this as a peak debt and do you expect this to come down in the going forward quarters? That is the first question. And secondly, for exports specifically, because we have seen now and then some large companies going through bankruptcies in Europe or in US. So do we have guarantees for whatever we sell to these companies?
Right. Okay, so these two questions let me answer separately. I'll start with the first one on the exports part. On the exports part, we never sell without a letter of credit. And recently, again, if you see some of the debt which has gone up, it's because the letter of credits which we were receiving from Sri Lanka and Bangladesh are not being discounted clearly by the banks in India due to various precautionary measures. So these are all secured debts because the buyers in the US or Europe have confirmed the orders and will push the garment makers to make sure that the LCs are honored. And the LC exists. So this is also temporary right now. These things will change as the bank's credibility becomes better again. The other part is you asked me about whether we think that this debt level is the highest we've reached so far or something. Yes, we have chosen at this point to increase the debt level, and I think it will only reduce from here going onwards, so proportional to the turnover. Unless the turnover increases significantly more, then it's proportionally increasing debt is a healthy thing.
Yeah, I understand that, but the increase this time was disproportionate actually to what our sales have grown. Right. I do understand the working capital requirements with increasing sales.
That is a good observation, and it is for these two reasons that it was disproportionate. One was the LCs not being counted by the banks, and two was the garment open credit that we gave to customers rather than discounting the bills at high cost.
Great, that answers. Just one request. In Q3, where companies generally don't publish their balance sheet, it would be really helpful if you can kind of quote the debt and the receivable levels, because any further increase from here would be really worrying as an investor.
I didn't understand that. What did you want me to talk about?
In Q3, publish the results. Please give out the debt numbers and also a receivable numbers, because as an investor, you know, any further increase from here would be would really be concerning in these levels. Because in Q3 the balance sheet doesn't get published. For Q3,
yeah.
Specifically, because
okay,
Q3 we got published.
Comment on that. On the numbers that he's asking for, Anand.
Yeah. So I'm saying that going forward, so Q3, since we don't publish balance sheet,
okay,
I would expect these numbers to be given out.
Okay. No, so, yeah, so basically just to, you know, so we would be publishing the balance sheet every September and March. And in Q3, yeah, if, you know, you... have a specific, let's say, a query that the debt numbers are to be given out, we'll sure, you know, let you know. However, you know, just to take the explanation of Mr. Roshniwal ahead, apart from, you know, the garment discounting, which we stopped, and of course, the increase in the amount of sales, because last year it was 1290, this year, this half year it was around 762. So apart from these two things, there is a certain amount of capex also which we have incurred. So there is some increase, around 35 crores is the increase in the term loan amount as well. So
yeah, that is long term, I can see that.
It is in the debt of around 150 crores, you know, if you compare March with September.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks for your response.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Agarwal from SE Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations, sir, on good set of numbers. I have a few questions which are, again, pertaining to the gentleman who asked earlier. So now, when you say that letter of credit, you know, it is a very safe mode of payment, I totally agree on that. But there is one thing, you know, there are a lot of cancellations which are happening worldwide because I belong to the same industry. So when the cancellations are happening, you know, letter of credit, you know, is not really a safe option again. So do you see any bad, you know, payments which might not get realized and there are a lot of cancellations from your customers?
No, not really, because we don't ship the goods until the primary customer, not the garment maker, confirms that they should be shipped. And the garment maker then has to honor the LC to receive the goods. Otherwise, the goods come back to us. That's never happened.
Okay. So, whatever are the postments you see that you will be in coming quarters, you will be shipping those goods. So there are no cancellations on that.
We are producing only goods against orders that are confirmed, and we start to produce after orders are confirmed. So cancellations from customers
you
are not without.
Yeah. You're not,
we're not making stock. Yeah, we don't take cancellations unless there's a liability for the customer. And the customer agrees to pay the liability, we don't accept the cancellation.
Okay. Can you give me a breakup of what are your margins in yarn and fabrics and garments separately?
So you're talking about EBITDA margins?
Yes, EBITDA margins.
Or cash profit?
No, EBITDA.
So in yarn is right now around about 15.5%. In fabric, it's around 14 or 14.5%. And in garment, it's a little bit lower at about 10 or 12. But it's improving in the garment and fabric part. And these I'm talking about after accounting for yarn transfer price at market price.
Okay. And
yarn profit is taken in the yarn business and fabric profit is taken in the fabric business. That way, yeah.
Okay. And another thing, the expansion, whatever you have done, it is good to take care for until how much of, like you said, you'll be growing 25 to 35%, right? There is your CTR growth. So till when do you think your expansion will be taken care of, and when you'll need fresh capital to employ for the expansion?
Yeah. So I'll just let Pankaj answer that, because it will be more accurate as to how much we've deployed already and what, according to the plan, we are going to further deploy and the time period for that.
Yes, sure.
Pankaj.
Yeah, so basically, the reason is, little unclear. So you are asking about basically the deployment of the further CAPEX funds in the next 6 odd months, right? Hello?
I can't hear you. Can you come again, please?
Yeah, I'm asking you, so the line was little unclear. So you are asking about the deployment of the, or rather the CAPEX expenditure, which is to be incurred in the next 6 months, right?
Yes, because that will increase your debt level, or it will be from internal accruals. That's also one major thing which I want to ask. Any further expansions will be from internal accruals, or you'll increase the debt again?
So, whatever capital expenditure we are going to incur, for that we would be, going in for fresh home debt in the ratio of, let's say, 75% comes to 25, where 25 comes from the internal accruals and 75 comes from the banks generally. And, roughly around 70 odd crores, would be the debt that we would be taking in the next 6 months as of now. So this includes the expansion as well as modernization.
Okay, and that will take care, that 70 crores will take care of your expansion still, which year, which financial year,
So the expansion in basically the garment division till March 2023 would be another 40 crores, out of which 30 would come from the bank, and remaining 10 would come from the internal accruals. Apart from this 40 crores, there would be another 30 crores which would be invested in the modernization. So overall, we are looking at around 70 crores, unless any CAPEX gets added on as per the revised plan. As of now, we are steady at around 70 crores that we would be in there in Q3 and Q4 of this financial year.
Okay, so till March there will be expansion which will be funded approximately 70 crores, right?
Yeah, over 70 again towards expansion as well as modernization.
Okay. And can you just confirm the last question from my side, that how much expansion your how much expansion in your domestic business and export business going forward?
So we see that the domestic market is doing better, but even the export market is also quite buoyant. And we're getting to that 50-50 ratio, where we'll be in a good sweet spot with 50% of our turnover coming from export and 50% from domestic.
Mm-hmm. And the margins in domestic and exports are equal, or the EBITDA margins, or there's a difference?
Depends from product to product and segment to segment. But on an average, I would say that they're about the same.
It's more or less the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Navneet Bhaiya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, sir. Congrats for a decent set of numbers in quarter two. So my first question is, sir, in your presentation, you've outlined your vision to grow to a 1,600 crore top-line company by FY25. In this quarter, we are already, roughly at that run rate. So would you like to revise that?
Well, we might revise it as we go down the road. Maybe by end of quarter three, we should be able to give a better idea about that.
Okay, fair enough.
It's going well, and we are achieving a run rate better than what we've projected.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's precisely. So yeah, if you can come up with a revised vision, it'll just help us to visualize better.
Yeah, so I mean, people are concerned about headwinds, and my personal view right now is that the headwinds that people are talking about, which are coming around, you know, in, let's say, in some of the furnishing sectors and the commodity businesses in cotton, we are not being impacted by all of those. We are primarily in the more dress-up clothing sector and the suiting business, and that has revived well for us in most of the markets. And the demand, as I see it, has not really gone down in both Europe as well as in the US for us. And UK, I don't know yet what is going to happen exactly, but we'll see how that goes. So we're seeing the markets of, in fact, the markets in Australia, the markets in Russia, and the markets in Korea, and now in Japan are beginning to revive very well too. So given the geography of our distribution, both in the East as well as in the West, and in good markets, and the Middle East, of course, has been also a very good market right now, with a lot of oil dollars available to them, the market has been pretty buoyant. So, you know, globally, we don't see that the recession for us in the product we are making is going to make a big impact. One, because we have innovation, and the kind of products we make always allow us to get better sort of reception from the customers when the markets are bad. Somehow, Bansal seems to do better when the situation is tougher.
That's quite encouraging, sir. I would just like to, ask you, in your commentary, in your press release, you've of course mentioned, and in your opening remarks as well, that H2 has some headwinds. However, based on what you're saying right now, you haven't yet seen too much of a demand pressure even in your export market. Domestic, of course, continues to be solid. So, is it more anticipation that things might go, worse from where it is right now, or you've already started seeing some slackness?
No, it's, we're just being cautious about the fact that the recession fears are there. But we don't see it at the, in terms of the order book or the way the clients are working with us right now. So, I mean, even when I'm in the US here in New York now, I've been talking to clients the last 2 days, and it's like they're also saying we don't really see the recession. The shoppers are still shopping, everything's happening. In fact, there's a shortage of people, and there's a labor shortage, you know. I mean, the workforce hasn't come back to the extent that the workforce should have come back after the COVID times in the US. But other than that, most people are still spending. As I mean, the malls are as busy, the shops are as busy, everything's happening.
Understood, sir. That's good to note. Any new customers that you're looking at, in your overseas visits, or it's more about, selling more to the existing customers?
Right now, it's about, we're developing a few more new relationships, but the existing relationships to harvest is more important. Among the new relationships is Uniqlo in Japan, which we're working at for the last 2 years, and it's slow and steady, but, when it breaks through, it'll be big. And we've been working with the PVH Group here in the US. That seems to be also getting to be a relationship which can be pretty big. So there's a lot of big customers around, and they're all looking geopolitically at India as being in a good spot, and therefore they would like to shift from China, and we just need to give them the confidence and the ability to be able to deliver to that. So that's why we're making these investments, and we're trying to ramp up production, which we have done in the garment business, to meet the demand that's happening. We'll have to do it in the fabric too, because demand is going to be higher than our production capacity, but we're being cautious.
Understood, sir. Are we operating at close to 100% capacity in all the three divisions, yarn, fabrics, and garments?
Yeah, I would say in the 90s. Yes, 100% is not what we plan to achieve given the complexity of our product mix. So
yeah, of course. Yeah. But close to full capacity utilization.
Yeah, right. Right.
Okay. And sir, just one, last question or observation, and you may choose to comment as appropriate. There's been some promoter selling over the last quarter by about 1%. So anything that you would wish to say on that, is there more to come? Or,
Rakesh, my sister sold some for shares because she wanted to buy a new house.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so is that it, or is there more selling expected from the promoter group?
No, not really. I mean, this is just based on what, we don't have income other than what's happening from the company, and we're not paying ourselves hugely. So if somebody wants to make a big ticket investment, there's no other way.
Okay, understood, sir. So yeah, I just wanted to get a clarification on that. All the best. I think things are good so far for the company, and all the best for your future quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Narayan from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead. Surya Narayan from Sunidhi Securities. Yes, sir. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, am I clear, ma'am?
Yeah, hi, Surya.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me opportunity. So just to understand the working capital intensity of your business, if you can throw some light on the receivable inventory and the payables, because the cash flow statements, the operating levels, we are turning negative, and most of the funds are tied up the working capital leg. So what is the, can you throw some light on the inventory and receivables and payables, especially for the receivables? Because we are nearly halfway mark from export to domestic markets, equally divided. So what is the receivable days for the Indian customers, and what is it of the overseas customers? Thank you.
Okay, so you did listen to what we had said to our first question with Anant, I think. Did you listen to that? Hello, Surya?
Yeah, I didn't get any. Yeah,
I said the similar question was asked by the first question that we got from Anand. And did you listen to the reply on that? And so I'll let Pankaj reply again to your reply, our CFO.
I have not, in the previous questions, the working capital was not, disclosed in detail. So I'm asking that because the cash from operating activities are negative, and mostly due to the working capital tied up. So if you can,
I'll address that again and ask Pankaj to do that, please.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay. So, Mr. Surya. So basically, if you see from the levels that we were in March 22. Our inventory has, increased from earlier 279 crores to currently around 320 crores. So there is, approximately an increase of around 51 crores. Whereas our trade receivables have increased by, around close to 114 crores, from 126 crores to around 240 crores. Now, I'll answer, first I'll take receivables. So receivables, as explained earlier, over the call, majorly the receivables have increased due to two reasons. First reason is because we stopped the discounting, we stopped discounting the domestic receivables, which earlier we were discounting at a higher rate of interest. So that is the first reason for increase in the receivables. And secondly, due to, recent economic changes, and where you are not getting the LCs from some customers in Sri Lanka and, let's say, the other areas, Turkey. So there, due to that effect, there is an increase of around, you know, 20 to 25 crores. So that is regarding the receivable, you know, portion on inventories. So for receivables, one more reason is the increase in the quantum of the sales, as I explained earlier. So in the last financial year, we were at 1290. For the current financial year, 6 months, we've achieved around 762. So naturally, there is an increase in the turnover. So, you know, on a pro rata basis, then there is the inventory and the receivable levels are bound to increase. So that, you know, more or less explains.
Can you quantify in days, sir?
Sorry?
Can you quantify in days the working capital leg?
So I could separately take this question with you because, you know, for that, we'll have to, you know, separate the things for, you know, the individual products. So.
And also, okay, we will also work out, you know, because there could be different level of, you know, working capital, I mean, receivable days for the local investor, local customers and overseas customers. So I just wanted also break up
while we could give you that data out. One point which I would like to make over here is that all the receivables, you know, are 100% secured. So none of our, you know, shipments are going unless, you know, either we have an advance payment or let's say we are sending the documents as EAD or we are having the LCs, you know, in our hand. So, you know, majorly, you know, the receivables are squarely covered. Moreover, you could, you know, we could take this offline.
No, Pankaj, we are not questioning any suspicion on the receivables. I mean, those are going bad. But what we are asking is that whether the on what count the working capital, you know, is rising,
yeah,
and whether that is what is a sustainable level of you know, because you have changed the methodology. So what would be the sustainable working capital days or cash conversion cycle days? So that is what I just want to understand.
Yeah, sure. So to answer this question, we are, you know, regularly monitoring our working capital limits and we are well, you know, we are having sufficient gap available to take care of, you know, the current quantum of the activities. And moreover, we could definitely... you know, be able to, you know, take this offline. If you want any further explanation with regards to the split of, let's say, the domestic and the export receivables. However, the receivables, the inventory is completely in control and our existing banking limits are enough to take care of.
Maybe you could just talk about days in terms of, like, say, the total amount of outstanding days for yarn is so many days, yarn inventory, for fabric inventory, for fabric receivables, it's so many days, and for garment receivables, it's so many days, and the norms in the industry are so and so. So compared to the norms where we are.
Yeah, that will be fine. Yes, sir, that will be fine. Yarn believed to be very less compared to others.
Yeah. So basically, you know, it again depends on the cycle, the credit terms you are having with your customers. As rightly pointed out, the yarn receivables, you know, have the lowest cycle. A domestic garment would have a higher cycle. So that's where we can, you know, offline take this and give you a detailed explanation of
so that you could even put it on the website in terms of the receivables and inventory in cycle days as
sure.
compared to the norms that are there in the industry.
Sure. We can definitely do this. You know, we can definitely put this up on the website. No problem.
And secondly, sir, regarding the solar, the power cost, going forward, because of the, what is the status of the solar power projects? And last time we have seen that, you know, the biomass plant is still to be, you know, stabilized. So what is the curve? And also the EHP supply from the grid that is to be you know, obtained. So what is the status on that front? And when we migrate from the HT to EHT, what is the saving, if any, will be there?
Okay. So regarding this overall power situation, we are being forced to generate electricity with coal, which we don't want to do because we don't have enough of a connection from the state electricity board. And for this, we've moved the necessary papers in Jaipur, and we're getting a new line of 132 kVA. Once that is expected to come up within the next 6 months. Once that happens, we can cut off the coal entirely, and we can move to a combination of biomass plus electricity grid plus solar. So some investments will be happening in solar. The biomass conversion of the boilers will happen. This is also in process and should take another, again, that, between that 5 to 6 months. So I would say in 6 months, we would see a significant saving of between 2 to 3 crores per month happening only on the power front.
So, sir, just to understand, I mean, considering our size, from the beginning itself, the 33 kV, sorry, 132 kV phase, three phases should have been taken.
Yeah.
Why it was not considered at the beginning stage and why it is now? And secondly, why 6 months delay will be there? I mean, is the system so cavernous, so dilatory?
No, I mean, see, the electricity board also wants to do it because they get a high-tension consumer and we'll be buying more electricity from them, which is mutually beneficial both to the board and us to do it. The reason we hadn't done it so far is that coal was actually more economical than taking the power from the electricity board. So we actually benefited for 8-10 years due to that. Then we've lost for one of these last 1 year. The process of actually drawing out the 132 kVA line requires this cabling to be done underground and various permissions to be taken. And that is why it is going to take 6 months.
Can't it be hastened a little bit, one or two, less than 2 months, 3 months? Because, you know, the grid should be around your factory, I believe. I have not seen
it. It's about 8 kilometers away, the substation from where 132 kVA will be drawn.
Okay. So is there any cost reduction? What is the present cost of grid cost per unit, and what would be if you migrate to 132 kVA? So what would be any saving on that front?
Yeah, about rupees 3 rupees to 2 rupees per unit we will save.
2 to 3 rupees per unit.
Yeah.
Okay.
The grid is cheaper. Per unit compared to coal.
Okay, compared to coal. Okay,
right.
From the grid, current grid to 132 kVA, what is the saving?
That's what I'm saying, no? That from the grid at 132 kVA, right now we're taking at 33 kVA, which is also okay, but we have only a connection of about 12 MVA. We need total of another 10 more. Which we will get with the 132 kVA in a single connection with better quality power.
But at grid cost, nothing, no saving will be there, but compared to coal, it will be having a saving of 2 to 3 rupees per unit. Am I right, sir?
Correct.
Okay. And sir, what is the situation going forward, when the crude oil prices are not actually receding and the raw material for the synthetic plants like PTA, energy, those could be also could be having inflationary trend. So do you think the prices of the yarn, synthetic yarns, will be able to sustain at this current level? Because it is, unless and until crude stabilizes around 80 to 90 Brent, I'm talking of Brent. So, do you think what is the scenario you are looking at?
Yeah, so yarns in commodities prices should fall, but we are making more specialties than commodities, and all of our yarn is dyed yarn, or yarn with stretch in it, or yarn with some fancy properties in it. So, we're not that concerned about the demand being so drastically down in specialties.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're not in the commodity raw white yarn business.
Okay.
Nor are we in the commodity space in the fabric business. Nor are we in the commodity space in the garment business. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yes, so thank you, everyone, and thank you all for the questions. I hope we have been able to answer them in a way in which there is more clarity. We do look forward to our continued communications and our conference calls, and find this opportunity to be stimulating as well as educative for us to understand your concerns. We look forward to continue this process and wishing that the next half year will be as good as this one, and we're going to keep working towards that. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Vansara Fintech Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.